Welcome to Smart in the City, the Babble podcast where we bring together top actors in the smart city arena, sparking dialogues and interactions around the stakeholders and themes most prevalent for today's citizens and tomorrow's generations. I am your host, Tamlin Shimizu, and I hope you will enjoy this episode and gain knowledge and connections to accelerate the change for a better urban life. Smart in the City is brought to you by Babble Smart Cities. We enable processes from research and strategy development to co-creation and implementation. To learn more about us, please visit the Babble platform at babble-smartcities.eu. So today we're traveling to Croatia. I actually realized I don't think we've done an episode yet with a Croatian city or stakeholder. So I'm really excited to dive into everything to do with this small city's background and what they're doing in the field of sustainability and more. So, and this episode is also part of our SMC Net Zero series, which is part of our EU-funded project, SMC Net Zero, and that aims to achieve net zero through innovation in small and medium-sized cities. So without further ado, I'm really excited to introduce you to our guest here today. His name is Mario Rein. He's the mayor of Kajiski, otherwise known as Crosstown in English, because my Croatian is not so good. But he is the mayor of Crosstown, and really excited to have him here today. Welcome, Mario.
Yeah, thank you. Very glad and honored to be with you today.
Yeah, absolutely. And please tell us in your proper Croatian accent how to say your town's name.
Okay, the Croatian name is Križevci.
Yeah,
but due to some historical reasons and significance within the Croatian history, Križevci has three official translations, one in English being Crosstown, in German we are called Kreuz, and in Hungarian we are Koros. So a lot of history within the small city of Križevci.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited to learn more. So to start us off with painting a picture of your town, I was wondering if you could answer a question. It's a teaser question that we like to use to get warmed up. The question that we have for you today is, if Crosstown were an animal, which creature would it be and why?
Yeah, that question gets me a lot of thinking of our historical reasons, but also what we are trying to do in the future. And I would most definitely say we are an eagle, because from historical point of view, we have more than 770 years of being freely and freely as a city, but also we have strong Christian background, and eagle has in Christianity some significance, but one thing that we like to think ahead is the fact that, like eagles, they take care of their children, and this is something that we take most first and foremost as our main goal, looking towards the future. And I think that today during this session you will hear a lot of me referencing to the children and child well-being, and all the initiatives we are trying to do. Be rest assured that we are doing for the future sake of our children. Yeah, so one thing to say, it would be an eagle.
Very good. I'm not sure if I've had that response before in the podcast. So yeah, really good, and really good reasons why also. So I like to give the listeners a little bit more info about you as a person. Can you tell us a little bit more about your background? Where are you from? What did you do before you were mayor? What led you here today?
Okay, so I'm to this day 38 years of age. I was born in Križevci, so practically all my life I am living here, except the years I was at the University of Zagreb. My university degree is in field of mathematics, so I have a bachelor's degree there, and also master's degree in informatics, but educational informatics. I have two small daughters, so this is obviously something that is also the theme of children and well-being of children, something that is very close to me as a father. But during my years being in the university, I was also a part of music sessions. I was in a rock band, but also I was a part of a couple of local NGOs. And that is something that most definitely had a great influence and impact on me. And practically I was 15 years inside the NGOs, working a lot of in the fields of education, also bringing technology to the people, but also communicating regarding things that tend to think of well-being of people and nature. And some time during this 15 years being an NGO, we found, not just me, but all the people in group that I was part of, that we had to take to the next level in terms of being active in local politics. And this is a place where you can make some significant change. So back in 2017, we went on local elections as a group of independent citizens, or a group of citizens, how it is called in Croatia. And our co-citizens, our neighbors, found it very interesting and appealing what we suggested or we offered to our neighbors. And we got elected. And also in 2021, we got re-elected completely on the green agenda. So nowadays, 7 years into the mandate, we are fully assured that all that we are doing, all that we told our citizens that we are going to change, really makes sense and has a strong impact on our citizens. And we are very, very lucky and happy about that.
Really interesting background, and I love the story of you running for election as well. So I want to learn more about your city. What are the ongoing challenges? What are the priorities of your city right now? You mentioned the green agenda. Of course, we want to dive into that more as well.
Yeah, maybe just one point to take before I go towards our future agenda, or current and future agenda. Back in 2017, Križevci were still struggling with a lot of people unemployed and going through some kind of change, because 30 years ago, so in the early 90s, we were rather strong industrial center in terms that we had five big companies in different areas of business, like construction working, but also in plastics and so on, meat industry, wood industry, and practically these five companies employed most of the people that were working within the city. During the 90s, and actually during the 90s, we established our own country, Croatia. All of these companies went bankrupt because of this transition from socialism to a new part of economy. And we struggled with that for the next practically 20 years. And in 2017, we said, okay, look, we are a city practically in the metropolitan area of our capital city of Zagreb. So Križevci are 55 kilometers northeast from Zagreb. A lot of our citizens, our friends, are working in Zagreb. And we know for the fact that obviously capital city offers a lot of good jobs, well-paid jobs, and obviously possibilities. But we want to make Križevci appealing for the life of that citizens, people who are, once again, I'm telling our friends, our colleagues, our neighbors, and we want to make Križevci as livable as possible, so to say, maximum safety, quality of life, and obviously new kind of jobs for the ones who want to work within the Križevci, but the ones who want to work and commute to Zagreb, okay, no problem, but we will do our best so they can commute daily. So investments in good railways, in maybe car sharing, and so on. But most definitely, quality of life within the city of Križevci is something that we wanted to emphasize. And because of that, the green agenda was something that came completely natural. We had a city, a role model in the city of Gießen in Austria, who started very similarly in 1992, their agenda that they want to become energy independent by 2010. And due to the fact that the technology was quite expanded in the meantime, we said, okay, in 2017, we want to become energy independent by the year 2030. In a sense that we want to utilize all our locally available resources for the renewables, but we knew for the fact that that could also bring new jobs, new green economy. And 7 years today, we see that actually happened. Okay, I'm not saying that there are thousands of new jobs within the Križevci, but most definitely we have like more than a dozen of newly established companies, small and medium enterprises that deal with photovoltaics, geothermal, sharing of knowledge, but also installation and so on and so on. So that agenda that we started in 2017 really made sense in the short term, even in the first 2 or 3 years, made fully sense in the midterm, 5 years from 2017, as we had the biggest impact on our households in the last 2 or 3 years. And I'm fully assured that by the year 2030, we will be energy independent, or as we like to say, we will, from our local resources, we will get all the electricity that Križevci household and businesses need. And that is roughly 24 of megawatts of power. Just my mathematician background is now coming to a sense. I like to talk in a figure of numbers. So we actually approximate that we will need 24 of megawatts of installed power by the 2030. And that is something that we disseminate in a way that we want to have 1,000 households with photovoltaics on their rooftop, or to say at least 1,000 households. To this date, we have 168 photovoltaics on rooftops of our citizens. But also we will invest in locally owned photovoltaics. Our businesses invest in renewables. We have geothermal potential and so on and so on. So we like to have our goals very measurable, and we are doing it quite well, so to say.
Yeah, so it sounds like you're doing a ton in the energy regard, and also proving the viability economically to do that and to prioritize that. What challenges are you really facing though as you're moving forward? Is there any community kickback? Is there just more technical challenges that you're facing? What are the challenges there?
From the 2017, we were fully assured and fully aware that the biggest challenge would be to accompany to get citizens involved in this whole energy transition. And we started from the first practically actions that we want to include citizens as much as possible. And within the three pillars that we are trying to work upon, as one is citizens first. Actually, the second one is being committed to mid and long-term strategy goals. And the third one is leaving no man behind in terms of energy poverty and socioeconomic poverty. So in all of our actions, we are always thinking of the one of our neighbors and households that maybe aren't so lucky that they could invest, but still we think of them. But regarding that, citizens first, we started in 2018 with crowdfunding campaigns so that citizens could invest in photovoltaics on rooftop of our public buildings. Obviously, we could finance that through our local budget, but we wanted to make a point that citizens are necessary to be a part of energy transition. They invested, we gave them, or rest assured them that they will get 4.5% annually return on their investments. And that was something that was catchy for the beginning, but after that, they really came closer to this whole topic of photovoltaics, of renewable technologies. And through these first two campaigns, because first one in 2018 was a huge success, and we started with the second one in 2019. So the first one was in our entrepreneurial park, main building, and the second one was on the rooftop of our city library. Through that, we got practically more than 90 of our citizens involved directly in energy transition. And one thing that made me very convinced that we are on the good path, out of these 90 investors, 18 of them combined into first local energy cooperative in Croatia, which was established in 2020. And we got them as strong partners in this whole process of energy transition. And once they started to meet and to communicate with other citizens, practically 1.5 years after their establishment, they came with an idea that they want to establish a local energy office, or so to say, one-stop shop. An office through which they could communicate even more with citizens and even more came closer to our neighbors that want to invest in photovoltaics and be a part of a green energy transition. So maybe to keep things short, I wanted to emphasize the role of citizens and the necessity to include citizens as much as possible in practically daily activities regarding energy transition.
Yeah, absolutely. I think these approaches are very innovative and really encapsulate, you know, how we can bring citizens into the play and get them involved. And initially, actually, we drive a lot more engagement just by engaging them from the very beginning as well, right? And funding these projects together with them. But I'm wondering, I don't know if you've heard concerns maybe around, you know, scalability or if you can sustain this long term. What are your plans in the long term for involving the citizens and doing these kind of community funded energy projects?
Yeah, we are fully committed that every locally available public resource should be offered to citizens for to be a part of their engagement, but also investment. So, for example, we had just this year a third campaign, as we had one rooftop on the city market that was available. We couldn't finance that through EU funding or any EU project regarding photovoltaics. And we once again reached out to the citizens, suggested, okay, do you want to once again engage? And they said, yes, most definitely. 108 of new investors came in that project. And investment of 200 kilowatts, which is roughly 180,000 euros of investment in that campaign. But we are expecting by the end of this year to have one big project of 7 megawatts of installed power. And now we are in that crucial point in this decade. Obviously, this 7 megawatts is something that our private businesses and private investors are very eager about. They want to practically, during last 6 months, a couple of interviews where investors came to my office and suggested, okay, we have money, just sell us the project documentation and the whole place, we will invest it. City will have something out of it on a yearly basis. But we are very, very committed that we should offer that as a public resources, because the land is in ownership of City of Križevci. The project documentation was financed through local budget. And now we want to make available for our citizens and the community itself, maybe on the national or even European scale level, that citizens could invest in this kind of, in that project or in the future in these kind of projects. And that commitment that every locally available resource should be offered to citizens is something that citizens are now very convinced that we are really thinking of that and want to engage in that sense. Obviously, the positive aspects for citizens are numerous. So they could get through these projects, like in average 5% annually return on their investments. But if they maybe don't need return on investments, they can share their produced energy. So because the energy communities as a method or model are now within the European Union is something that are very we are expecting to grow in the future. Some countries within the European Union made it quite simpler and have a lot of energy communities. Some are a bit slower, but still I think that this is a big opportunity through energy communities to engage even more citizens in the future, and this is something that Križevci are very very committed to in the future.
So you are scaling this up,
yeah,
in other ways and getting more investment into this. So you're really proving that it is scalable in your town.
Yeah, right? Yeah, and I'm actually trying to convince, or I'm talking with my colleagues in different cities, especially the ones that are surrounding Križevci. Please do think of engaging with citizens, as citizens have, or some of them have, some savings that they aren't sure what to invest in. Obviously, the bank earnings aren't so much, or bank interest rates aren't so compelling to them as they used to be. And projects in green energy or renewables are something that is very interesting, and hopefully it will gain a lot more interest in the future. So far, some of the cities are trying to implement something like us, but there is still a huge opportunity to scale up this model on even Croatian level size, but most definitely on the European level.
Yeah, absolutely. You also have an energy climate office and CLIK, K-L-I-K. Can you explain a little bit more about that? What roles they play in your energy policies? How has this impacted your climate action plans?
Yeah, that is actually the cooperative I was referring to, CLIK. So CLIK and office are practically combined directly. So first local energy cooperative established in Croatia was CLIK, which means actually Križevci Laboratory for Innovation in Climate in Croatia. And once again, they established in 2020. And after 1.5 years of working remotely or from home or collaborating on projects in that sense, they came with an idea in my office that they would like to have one fixed point office through which they could communicate with citizens on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. And at that point, and that is something I'm often referring to, so maybe some of your audience already heard me talking about that, I said, great, you have my full support, but I want to give you the best give you. I will lend it to you, but on a very good deals. From Križevci ownership, the best office space available, which is practically on the main city square, just beside the main walking route towards the main city square. And I said, okay, I want this office to be to close to the citizens as possible. So not an office which will be inside the city administration building somewhere on, I don't know, third level, fifth door on the left, which will be hard to find. This is something that needs to be as close to as possible to citizens, because when you think of daily activities of citizens, it is quite often that citizens practically went 100 times beside this this office, and they didn't even take a look what it is. But on this one occasion, on 101st time, they maybe stopped for a while and looked, oh, but there is something going on inside. When they come inside, they will find good atmosphere, people who are working within the clique, who are very eager to explain our citizens or any other guests what we are trying to do, to have some kind of renewable, not just renewable, but also climate conversation topic, maybe to have a cup of tea or a relax or place to co-work. And that is something that had strong impact on the whole our city agenda, as through CLIQ and our Energy Climate Office came also initiative for us to co-finance the photovoltaics on the rooftop of citizens. So the whole model was actually their suggestion. And we said, okay, if citizens want that, this is something most definitely that we should work upon. And we started with co-financing in 2020. And so far, like I mentioned in the intro, we have 168 co-financed photovoltaics on our rooftops. Obviously, we aren't still close to the 1,000 that we expect in 2030, but this momentum is gaining each year bigger and bigger, and I'm fully assured by the 2030 that we will come to that number.
Yeah, a lot of confidence. I know that 2030 number for many cities is coming very quickly, right? But you seem very assured that you're going to be able to reach your targets in 2030. I'm wondering what other initiatives you're talking a lot about the citizens and the future for children. I'm very curious, what other initiatives do you have that have a big focus on citizens? I think also I had read something about an app that you have for citizens as well. Any other initiatives you want to speak about?
Yeah, but maybe I can combine all of that, because we said, okay, we don't want to talk with citizens ask citizens what they think once in every 4 years, meaning they practically answer you on the elections. So in 2019, we established an open source platform on our official page through which our citizens can communicate directly with us, give us suggestions and so on. And practically from 2019, each year, just before the local budgeting for the next year, we have a very strong campaign through which we collect ideas for the citizens. And what is important to say and to emphasize, the best ones that are backbone by the other citizens, we most definitely implement in the next city budget. So if people give you strong confidence and suggestions, you cannot let them down. So obviously you have each year numerous ideas, but the ones that are the best ones, you should implement in the next budget. So for example, the first citizens-backed idea was to have urban gardening, and that was actually during the COVID era. A lot of our citizens that live in multi-condo houses didn't have ability to have their own little garden. And they said, okay, you have within the city center, you have a designated area for the new houses to be built for young families. Please take a couple of those plots and reinvest them or rearrange them to be urban gardens. And that is exactly what we did during 2020. And from that initiative, we got a new NGO, a new cooperative called Magda's Gardens. Magda was also a historical figure in Križevci. But we gained a community of 30 plus citizens, obviously our citizens, who are on a daily basis now they're present. They have their own gardening place. They produce their own food. And this is something that was very, very positive impact on the whole local citizen scene. After that, the next year, for example, citizens backbone the idea of establishing a Križevci observatory, which was quite big project. Once again, it was backbone by a lot of citizens, and we had this is a project that is obviously I'm very fond of due to the scientific reasons and something, but we had to invest 600,000 euros of from the local budget, and we got additional EU funding. But to be honest, we didn't think of that before the citizens suggested that for us. So maybe just to give you a brief idea, and I will talk about the CTX application, CTX app. I wanted just to make you reassure that building relationship with citizens is something that is very, very fruitful and positive for every mayor. But on the other hand, could be very fragile relationship, because if you let your citizens just once let them down, you practically lost them forever. So this is an idea you have to be fully committed to, and obviously have rather good communication point. Okay, once again, I'm saying, I get on each year, on a yearly basis, I get dozens of suggestions. The ones that are the best, that are the most backbone by citizens, that get most of the votes of the citizens, those ones are implemented. The ones that don't have so much confidence of citizens are something that are on maybe some second list, maybe sometime in the future. And regarding CTX app, this is practically a national app, maybe even global. Sometimes during this year, from 2019 up to 2024, we saw that this movement on web application or on our official site is, we have each year a bit less of citizens involved. And they suggested maybe a mobile app would be a better place, so to say, to communicate on a daily basis. So we implemented with various functionalities. So through that, this designated app for Križevci, you get news from Križevci, you can get meteo data on air quality, which is something that is very important for us. You can report about some problems in Križevci. So just for us as a city administration to be aware of. Obviously, insights into the local budget is something that is also available through that city app. And obviously, all in all, this is a communication platform from which we are trying to build upon in the future to talk with citizens even furthermore. So this is something. Regarding other initiatives, they are mostly now into geothermal, as we are want to invest in district heating, but these kind of projects will be in the next 2 or 3 years done.
Yeah, absolutely. Really great examples of how you're engaging with citizens and putting them first. You've already given a lot of advice, I think, also to others that may be in similar situations as you. But I was wondering if you have one other maybe key piece of advice that you'd like to give to maybe decision makers in cities of similar sizes to yours. By the way, what's the population size?
We are 20,000 inhabitants.
So 20,000. Okay. Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I would just say be fully committed to your citizens. The one privilege of being a mayor is that you are elected by your neighbors. Also, this is a huge responsibility because you meet your voters on a day-to-day basis. These are your neighbors. These are your friends. These are your coworkers. People you meet in the sports clubs and so on and so on. It could be rather challenging to talk with them on a daily basis because most of them are communicating problems with you or suggestions that could lead to resolving the problems that they emphasized prior to that. But once again, I really think of that, of my role as a privilege. And during these years that I'm in my mandate, I want to make an impact on the quality of life. And regarding the whole theme of smart city, because obviously this is something that this podcast also deals with, as I'm aware of, I'm always saying, okay, and this is this mathematics, informatics background of me talking, technology is here present and it is here to stay. You need to utilize it, obviously. But the smarter cities are the ones that with which within them our children can walk, can cycle freely, safely, and every technology, AI, sensors, and this is something that is only a bonus to that. But if you aren't committed to the youngest one of us, that they are safe, that they could freely walk within the city to enjoy the urban gardening, our plants and trees, you actually don't have a smart city. So this is something I'm always talking to my neighbors regarding mayors. Please do not emphasize me the fact that you have sensors on your parking places for cars, because I'm not sure why you have parking places in the first in the beginning in some of your places within the city. As I tend to have in the city center bicycle lanes. Obviously, cars are present, but they shouldn't be the priority. Our children, citizens, should be a priority, and everything else could be in some sense in service of citizens. And also, mayors should be in service of citizens, because that's what we are elected for.
Yeah, it's a very good mentality, I think, that you have. And it's really inspiring that you view it as such a privilege to work for the citizens. Now that's all from the main interview part. And now we get to play a little bit of a game to start to close this off. It's actually, you're our guinea pig. we have a new segment that we're trying out. It's called Top or Flop. Top or Flop. Respond quickly with your positive or negative review on a variety of topics. And it's where we give you a topic and you have to say whether it's top, it's good, or it's bad, it's a flop. Okay. Summer in Croatia.
Top.
Nice. Autonomous vehicles.
Flop.
City versus technology, the metaverse for cities.
I would still say top.
Okay. Mm-hmm. 15-minute city concepts.
Definitely top.
Banning cars. Top. Fees for tourists to enter city centers. Have you heard what's going on in Venice? Now there's a fee.
Unfortunately, we don't have these kind of problems. But I would say flop, because just I understand what their mayors is dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You went most of the ways that I expected. I guess you could maybe elaborate a little bit more.
Actually, I just thought I didn't want to take your additional time.
Yeah.
Okay, regarding banning of cars, I'm first and foremost contra any banning. As actually, we are trying to emphasize the idea within the citizens that they should think of other ways of transportation rather than car. So within our city center, we do not say you are banned with cars. But a lot of our initiatives suggest, okay, I don't know where to put my car, so maybe I should go on the other part of the city, or maybe I should come to the city center by foot, which is obviously the best way. But also, we have public bicycles, newly built bicycle lanes. This year, we will establish electricity buses or electric buses and routes within the city. And there are numerous different ways in which you can communicate or travel within the city, not just to sit one individual in the car and go into the city center and so on. In that sense, that answer regarding 15-minute city, this is something that is obviously a huge imperative for most of the mayors, but for the Križevci-sized cities, We are practically a 15-minute
city. You
are
a 15-minute city, right?
Yeah, but still I like to talk with my colleagues that are mayors of rather bigger cities like Zagreb, which is like, I don't know, like 40 times bigger than Križevci. But obviously, you have to start from the ground. So, okay, maybe you cannot implement everything at the same time in the whole city, but you have bigger budget. You have 17 city districts within the Zagreb in terms of that. So maybe you can start within one or two or maybe three. And these districts or city neighborhoods are the similar size like city of Križevci. So, okay, take the best of what we can offer. We would gladly share our insights and knowledge. And from that, you can in the next years top up. And this is something I really think that most of the European bigger cities can implement.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thanks so much for giving your insights also on the segment. I have one last question for you. And you alluded to it already before around smart cities and your thoughts on it. So I have an idea about what you're going to say. But I really want to dig in a little bit deeper, just in a few sentences. Could you tell us, to you, what is a smart city?
Yeah, I practically tried to say that sentences because this is something I'm this is a quotation of one of the author that I'm reading about. This gentleman is called Lior Steinberg. So he suggests, and I'm fully up to that, I have that on my background on my PC. Smart city has nothing to do with AR or sensors. The city is smart when children can walk and cycle freely and safely. And technology is only a bonus. That was something I already mentioned. So obviously this isn't my author idea, but this is something I'm very committed to. I really enjoy using technology, although as someone who also sometime in my past life I work in elementary and high school, I think we need to use technology in very... in a way that our children are very safe within the technology. But obviously the progress we made during the second part of 20th century and from the beginning of 21st century gives us rather good example of what technology could do as long as we are responsible towards the using of technology. But first and foremost, we have to be responsible towards ourselves and our children. So still keep in mind that citizens or people come first, and everything that deals with technology is only a bonus that people should use to gain benefits from, not to be by any means in fear of that technology. So this is something that we are talking on a daily basis within our city administration. When I deal with people who are heads of my departments, I'm always referring, please do keep in every project or every project idea, first and foremost, think how it will make impact on our citizens, on our people. And after that, we will deal with technology, servers, sensors, I don't know what, artificial intelligence.
Yeah, I agree. And that's a common theme. We ask that to every guest, and it's a common theme that we hear, you know, that technology is a tool to use, but not the end goal, right? So yeah, really, really great insights in all of this. I'm really excited about a lot of the initiatives you're doing around energy and involving citizens. So thank you so much for taking the time to come on, talk to us, talk to our listeners, let everyone know about what you're doing. So yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you as well. And once again, it was a great privilege and I'm very honored to be a part of your podcast. Thank you from the city of Križevci point of view. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And thank you also to all of our listeners. Of course, you keep the podcast running. So don't forget, you can always create a free account on babble-smartcities.eu. You find out a lot more about cities, about projects, solutions, implementations, and more. Thank you very much. Thank you all for listening. I'll see you at the next stop on the journey to a better urban life.